Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3, and we are less than 2 weeks away from the Lunar New Year holiday, which is important not just here in Singapore, also for Greater China itself. But there are a lot of questions being asked about Chinese markets moving forward. We do have China advising folks not to travel during this time to avoid creating any worse outbreaks out there. We have news of possible defaults in the Chinese property space and also signs of tightening liquidity out on the mainland. Hong Kong stocks and the Hang Seng tracking back down after breaching 30,000. What's in store for greater Chinese markets, and how might investors navigate some of these new uncertainties or challenges? Today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. Peter Chun. He's the founder of Silver Bear Capital out in Hong Kong, and he's here to share with us his thoughts on the various new issues that Chinese markets might have to face and if there are any possible opportunities there. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy February.
Thank you.
I want to start off with Hong Kong stocks. And about a couple of weeks ago, it was noted that the Hong Kong stocks breached 30,000 quite convincingly, but they've been coming back down in the last 2 weeks. Now, one thing people attributed this to was because of strong inflows from mainland Chinese investors really propping up some of these equities that are listed out in Hong Kong. Do you think there was anything fundamental that drove this strong sentiment from mainland investors to Hong Kong? And how difficult is it to sustain market sentiment if this was the primary driver for why Hong Kong stocks started off the year with such strength?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Obviously, Hong Kong stock advance and greet the new presidents in the U.S. by reacting in the right direction. And obviously, everybody see that the index has breached 30,000 points level. That's a good sign. Secondly, I think with the new political arrangement with the U.S., obviously, the tension between China and U.S. could come down. And obviously, Hong Kong being the kind of like a jump board for China for the rest of the world became now a little bit more optimistic about the relationship between Hong Kong and the U.S. I think that's kind of the overall big picture that we've seen. Then come after all the other smaller things that looks actually in, being handled or being processed in the right manner. For example, TikTok, modest company, is being resolved in the U.S. and therefore, again, driving a psychological mindset for a lot of investors saying, hey, maybe Hong Kong now is back in a position whereby it's able to actually act as a really, really good bridge between China and U.S. and therefore investing in Hong Kong now becomes a good decision for a lot of mainland Chinese people who wanted to hedge against the bad other things around them beyond China. They are all after a lot of the stocks like Xiaomi. They're after stock like Alibaba. I mean, all these giant stocks, tech stocks, are the frontier of this drive.
And of course, the other big event in China in the next couple of weeks, as we mentioned, is this Lunar New Year holiday. But it's a bit of a more somber Lunar New Year period also, particularly with the risk of igniting a potential wave of COVID-19 infections. We've heard authorities in Beijing advising folks to stay home and avoid traveling during this time to try and prevent igniting another wave of COVID-19 outbreaks. What's at stake here with regards to China's economic rebound if they don't manage things properly during this very tricky time?
It's a very tricky time, definitely. I think China has been one of the first countries in the world kind of achieve certain milestones in controlling the COVID infections. I think the protocol here right now is not to go too loose. So all these really big giant gathering situation, they will try to avoid. Not saying that you're not able to gather around, but then they would want to at least hedge the risk so that the next wave of COVID wouldn't arrive again. But obviously, as you can see for last year's numbers, China during the last year of COVID did not do too bad. Sure, you will not use, we'll probably haven't seen all the ripple effect from the last year yet, but I think these are the little things that the Chinese government are trying to make sure that they're not going to be able to mishandle this year by allowing decisions of controlling people, how to make gatherings, how to try not to have these people in China be too happy about themselves, about the COVID is not around them. So they wanted to make sure that they are still aware of the COVID situations, had a strong mindset about getting away from the COVID.
Now we're still meeting to Mr. Peter Chun, the founder of Silver Bear Capital in Hong Kong here on Money FM 89.3. And we're looking at what's at stake for Chinese markets, given some new near-term challenges. And another one, Peter, has been noted, is the growing number of Chinese defaults, particularly in the property space. Just recently, we heard about another Chinese developer, China Fortune Land, missing out on payments. Bloomberg recently said that offshore bond defaults from China have now hit 33% of the total level for last year. HSBC also recently sounding out concerns about buying bonds from Chinese developers. Is this space, the bond space, and particularly bonds for Chinese developers, is this in for short-term headwinds? And what kind of complications could this pose, especially given that there are signs that liquidity in China is gradually starting to tighten?
The property space is a very interesting space in China because the property market forms a major part of the Chinese economy, as you can see. Now, there is a lot of Chinese developer, giant ones actually, being born for the last 10, 20 years to the market. And all of them has been leveraged or maybe over-leveraged to certain extents. This is not a new news in China. I think one of the Chinese developer like China Fortune Land started to miss his payment. I think it's like a wake-up alarm for people outside China to see how they should re-rate all these bonds that these Chinese companies are offering, are usually high yield or maybe slightly higher than a normal high yield that they can find. And that's what makes them attractive to a lot of investors in the past years. But I think it's a timing issue for them right now to see maybe they needed to really look into the rating of these bonds and started to make sense when they are going to invest into these bonds, what kind of return they should look for because of the risk that they're taking as well.
Are you being a little wary about the Chinese developers, both from the fixed income and equity space as well?
Yes, but as you can see, all the top ones are actually hedging the portfolios as well. So instead of just being themselves as a China developer, a lot of them has started to make aggressive moves outside of China, just trying to hedge their bets as well. So they go to UK, they go to Vietnam, they go to Malaysia, they go to, you know, they go outside. I think, yes, there are some headwinds coming up short term. It's definitely because, you know, it's definitely not a good sign when they are not going to be able to handle their financial situations correctly. But I think there's something that most of the developers already inside China have already a mindset that this headwind is coming anyway. But I think from the investor's point of view, I think, as I said, we should definitely use this as a recalibration about if somebody or maybe trying to invest into some of these bonds later on, they should really look to see if the terms and conditions, especially on the interest rates or return, are correct for the risk that they're taking. But definitely some headwinds coming up.
Now, Peter, I want to look at the big, broader emerging market space. Now, Silver Bear Capital is not a group that's shy on the emerging market space, and they've done well at the start of this year. But some believe that this might be as good as it gets for equities in developing markets. There are still some doubts creeping into the emerging market space. Does Silver Bear Capital share these sentiments? And if not, are there any places within the broad emerging market space that Silver Bear Capital perhaps is seeing more upside?
That's a good question. The emerging market has always done well, I mean, for the last 10 years. But I think the formula that people using before might have to be transformed in some ways when they look at a emerging market situation. So in the beginning, we all kind of go to the brick and mortar businesses, infrastructures, highways, you know, all the nitty-gritties of stuff that a country might need. And then you slowly move into, say, consumer products, whereby you're selling necessities to the population, and then the population will then buy. Slowly during, you know, the past 10 years, we see a lot of the market coming strong, the population are making money, there's money in the economy. And it's really how you work with the local government or maybe the local companies to kind of localize outside ideas into their country correctly. But if you do arrive at a situation like that, then your investments in these emerging markets should pay off if you do it correctly. Especially a local team is usually a must for a lot of these investors, because a lot of these investors sometimes depending on say a single management with not so kind of strong compliances, and therefore you ended up in maybe a negative situation for most of these guys. For example, we see Egypt. So Egypt is a very good country for us to look at. It's the number one GDP in the MENA region. It's leading the rest of the allies in their region to step up. And if you read their GDPs and all the other things, it's really looking good. It has a stable economy, stable politics. It's really running for us on our balance sheets. So I think we should still keep our heads up on the emerging market. With a weaker dollar, yes, I believe that's correct when you say there is doubt, especially if you wanted to kind of creep into the EM space right now with a weaker dollar. But I think in the long run, these emerging countries will come out strong. So I think it has always been the same case for other countries as well. So I think we should definitely not let it go too far.
I'd like to thank Mr. Peter Chun, the founder of Silver Bear Capital, for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and loved ones continued health and safety out there in Hong Kong, Peter, and we look forward to the next time you can join us. Meantime, have a great rest of the Thursday ahead. Cheers, sir.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.